By the time your breakthrough wants to come, you won't even like the car at that time. So forget prophesying about Mercedes-Benz. If you want to talk of material things, there are scriptures that cover everything. You at least say simple things like, you will never lack. Why? Jesus was made poor so that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. That you will abound with, that is, you, God will make all grace abound towards you. That you will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound, super abound, unto good works. You say to yourself, the Lord is your shepherd. Therefore, lack is not your portion. I speak to you, lack is out of your life. You're talking to yourself. And you see, as we go, we'll discuss it again. Especially, you speak such prophetic words, most especially when you are in the depths of lack. When you speak it out of abundance, it's weak. Listen, when you don't chop belly full, I speak to you. Yeah. Listen. I like what the TTG said once. That when he said we are more than conquerors, he said any man who is winning, who is shouting, you know, I'm winning, that is a conqueror. That the man who can shout in the midst of affliction is the one that's more than a conqueror. The time you must speak, the time you must prophesy most importantly is the time where everything is the opposite. Let me go on. I'll tell the story of Jonah. Let me quickly finish it. So that we'll understand the issue of prophecy. What I've said so far is to understand the importance of you and me on the surface of this earth. He doesn't bless people. He does not judge people for preservation's sake. I'll explain that. He does not even fulfill his word until somebody demands his fulfillment. Let me say something to you. Sometimes you look through the scriptures. Why is God doing things like this? Why did he raise Simeon? Why did he raise Hannah? Not the mother of Samuel, the mother Hannah. Why were they there watering the environment for the birth of the son, Jesus Christ? Why? Let me tell you, because without them, nothing would have happened. Listen, you must understand this matter. One day a man, he was meditating. And he said, oh, God is so great, he's so big, I can't do without him. Then the same man turned around and said, God is very great, he can't do without me. I don't know what I hear what I said. This was a man of understanding, a deep man. He understood that without him, God's purposes on this earth will not be fulfilled. It wasn't pride, though. It wasn't bragging. He was telling the truth. Without Abraham, Jesus was not going to come. He had prophesied in the beginning, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. A man needed to take that word and run with it. So when God wants to fulfill, he starts looking for who will. You know, sometimes I'm in my house, I'm thinking. Look, you've heard me say it before. I'm just observing. Sometimes cold will even catch me, you know what I mean? Like we say, you shiver and realize that. How do I say this? This is to every one of God's children, but I'm talking about me now, right? For a moment. I realize I'm very important in God's agenda. Let me see what I'm trying to say. Say, what agenda? I don't know the details. But I don't want, you know, there are times I sit down and think about it. I just refuse to think some thoughts. Let me give you an example. When it comes to ministry, plans for life, there are things I just refuse to do. Not because I'm afraid for myself personally or something will go wrong. No. But I just realized that, Banky, what if you derail that which God wants to do amongst his people? Why? Because I'm not bragging. I'm telling the truth. I know how God personally trained me over the years to be able to say the things I'm saying. If I stop saying them, some of you will have problems in life. And I'm not kidding. If for one reason or the other somebody had killed Moses, maybe God himself. You know God was going to kill Moses. Israel would be in that captivity another 50 years. They are looking for somebody else. Men are hard to find. Don't play with your life. Oh. That's what I'm talking about. God is preserving you. He's feeding you. He's pumping things into you. He's preparing you. Don't just make a mess of it. Your life is not about building houses and buying cars. God created it for a particular purpose. I may not know it. You may not even know it. But please, whatever he lets you understand as a right to do for each day, understand that the reason why you have to stick with that thing, it's called righteousness, is not just because of you. It's because you are important in the thing that God is doing. If Daniel did not pray, 70 years will pass with all the word that Jeremiah uttered. Nobody's coming out of captivity. Nobody is coming out of captivity except that Daniel discovered it. The Holy Spirit moved him and he found out that this is the word that came to Jeremiah the prophet. The number of years that God said he will accomplish concerning the desolation of Jerusalem. They began to pray. He needed to download that promise and ignite its fulfillment. I told you before, brain drain, brain drain. The drain of brain is cheap. The thing that is terrible is spiritual drain. Carry all the doctors and engineers and lawyers and all the specialists in Nigeria. Dump them in Saudi Arabia. Nigeria has lost nothing. When all the sons and daughters of Nigeria disappear, they don't prophesy over the land again. Boko Haram will overrun every corner of it. Bring all the engineers and back, they will kill them. I remember I read in God's Smuggler, Brother Andrew. He said he went to a land once. One of those places he went, everybody had disappeared in the village. One old woman, they were there. We're showing him how things used to be and all of that and all of that. So he marveled because there was poverty around. He marveled. The oppression of communism was there. And he said, "Why? How come you guys have not left like everybody else?" And he thought in his mind, maybe they are trying to preserve their land. That's what he was thinking. He said, but they answered him, "If we leave, who will stay back to pray?" That is, communism won't come to an end because it is tired. It will come to an end because the watchmen said they are tired. You are getting what I'm saying? That's the way it is. We are not, God didn't send us to this earth to come and eat food. The food was given for us to have energy to do certain things. That's why we don't celebrate food recklessly. We thank God now we are eating. Amen. Last year, I could only afford one half piece of fish. But today, seafood. My friend takes a joke. Something that really happened. My friend, Pastor Corey, said one day, one guy went. He met some big men of God, you understand? So those guys, of course, they were eating and they were feasting. And he, the young man, was there. And, he had not seen that kind of food. No men eating. So he said, "My God, this is ministry." So one of them said, "My friend, this is not ministry. This is food. Let's not confuse it. This is not ministry. This is food. We are just eating. We'll go, we'll live here and go and do ministry." What I wanted to explain. The fact that you and me are the builders of our lives, the builders of our environment, and the builders of the society. And the thing we use to build, are you getting my point? Is the word of God. And the way by which we build is by prophesying. Maybe next time or the time after, I'll get into it to analyze the life, the personal life of the prophet. Because there are people that God spoke to and said, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." There are people that God calls my prophets. Are you getting my point? That is, it's not a man who wears a robe, who refuses to have a bath, Some of them, they are trading prophets. It's business. But there are people that God calls my prophets. My own. Let me finish the story of Jonah. So I can tie everything together. So Jonah refused to go. Like I said, when I was young, I thought it was because he was afraid of the wickedness of the Ninevians. But no, he was afraid of embarrassment. Because you read Paul talk about the carrying about in our bodies the dying of Christ. You will read about it. Those things have meanings that are very practical. Embarrassment for the sake of the prophetic word can be very painful. In Jonah's case, the man will prophesy and the thing would not happen. It had happened before. How do I know it had happened before? Because you know the story of Jonah. Jonah refused to go to Nineveh. He entered a ship on his way to Tarshish. The ship entered into rough waters. And then God took Jonah out of there, threw him inside the water. And for your information, no, just by the way, there's a message we preached then. Can't remember which one now. God was not playing with Jonah. God was going to kill Jonah. Jonah was going to die. It wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't scaring Jonah. Jonah was dead meat. But from the time they dropped him into the water, all right, till he finally drowned, in that period, he prayed. You understand? And God forgave him and had mercy on him. And God sent the fish to go and keep him. And I described then that was the first stage of his deliverance. And then he began to give thanks. And you go and see, the Bible says, in the belly of the fish, he said, I prayed and God heard. So he was celebrating with thanksgiving inside the belly of the fish. Then I can't remember what I was talking about. It was a matter of thanksgiving. I said, listen, learn to give God thanks so that the fish will eventually vomit him. Though he would have been delivered halfway, if he did not do what he did, he would have digested. That fish was not preserving him. He came to eat. In case you did not know. The Lord is good. Let me not digress into the matter of Jonah there now. But the point is that when Jonah returned, and he went and he prophesied. And he went around Nineveh 40 days. How many days journey now? I've forgotten. But he said, 40 days hence, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And he prophesied for days. He went around every corner of the city prophesying. And he went and sat down to await the destruction of Nineveh. But what happened? Nineveh was not destroyed. And Jonah said, was this not what I said when I was still in my own house? This was why I said I didn't want to come. Look at the embarrassment now. I went around, every child saw me, every man saw me, every woman saw me. Tomorrow now they are going to say, hey, 40 days hence, Nineveh will be destroyed. Look at us, 200 days after, we are not yet destroyed. And Jonah didn't find it funny. He wanted God to just destroy the place, just to prove that he had God. But what's my message from it? Why was the prophecy not fulfilled? Was it not the word of God? Are you getting my point? Now, that's actually the main message from the life of Jonah. Why was the prophecy not fulfilled? Was it not the word of God? That tells you something. There are circumstances that mitigate the fulfillment of prophecies. In that particular situation, it was a prophetic word concerning judgment. But the king arose, called his men, called his people, and they all dove into repentance. And the word of destruction was stayed. And this is the interesting part. Years later, Nineveh was still destroyed. But in that generation, it was not destroyed. He said, what will have preserved Nineveh forever? It will have been preserved if every generation afterwards kept on maintaining righteousness and justice. And they did that until Jesus came. Jesus will have died their death for them. Are you getting my point? Now, this point, the prophecy came forth. Listen, prophecies, the way they work, they are prophecies. That's why, so don't be afraid of ancestral curses. Some of them were prophetic words from heaven over your great-grandfather's life, and he condemned all his descendants. Yes, they were. And you are naturally one of his descendants. But this is how things work. Jesus came out, jumped in between you and that judgment, and he died the death, you are free. Do you get my point? You are free. You don't need any special deliverance. What you need is faith in Jesus Christ. Go and read that John chapter 5, verse 24. He said, whoever believes in him has passed out of judgment and he has passed into life. Please, I hope you're following my point. Prophecies, this is how they are. They go forth, they have to be activated if it's a word of blessing. And they can be stopped if it's a word of destruction. They can be. They can be. The word usually goes forth like this. Upon those who dishonor me, God will speak. And a man dishonoring God says, oh boy, this is death. He comes out of dishonoring God and begins to worship. And God says, okay, upon him, that word has gone over. Looking for the next man who's walking in dishonor. Please, I hope you're following my point. These are prophecies work. Let me get back to what I was saying. They are weapons. They are tools. They must be activated. God gave one over Nineveh. The people said, no, this thing will not land here. It won't. How did they say it? They said, simple. And you know, I'm paraphrasing, I'm making it clear. That listen, this is a word of judgment for wickedness. Let's pull out of wickedness. They pulled out of wickedness and the word was lifted over their lives. There was a time Daniel interpreted the dream from Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, what does it mean? He said, Oga, you're in trouble. He said, what shall we do? This is what we're going to do. Let's suspend the trouble. How do we suspend it? It's simple. Break off from doing wickedness. All those your wicked counselors, remove them. Start doing good. He said, if you do that, peradventure, God will lengthen the days of your prosperity. What does that tell you? The word has gone forth. It is not automatic that it will be fulfilled. If it's a good word, there are things you must do. Number one thing you must do, if it's a good word, you must take it. Let me read that scripture. I just like to quote it properly. You must take it and prophesy again. That's Revelation chapter 10. If you read verse 10, it said, let me start from verse 9. And I went to the angel telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. That is, I wanted to bring the word back. I wanted to vomit it up. And the angel said to me, and they said to me, this is what that means. You must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. The word there is you must prophesy again. Many times we eat the word, it's sweet in our mouth, and we let it settle in our belly. It's not supposed to settle. It must irritate the belly so that it's regurgitated. Are you getting my point? Yes, it must be regurgitated. You must prophesy again. Listen, I said we are what? Builders. Is that every house is built by some man. The builder of all things is God. When it says the builder of all things is God, what does it mean? God has a master plan. It is recorded in heaven. Jesus said, pray like this, thy will. Listen, I heard Larry Lee preach that thing many years ago. That Jesus was not saying, request that thy will be done. He said the tone was this. Will of God be done. Are you getting my point? That is, it was almost like a commandment. That is, when God says something in heaven, he said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth. For those who do not know, he did not say, as it is being done in heaven. That's a misreading of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he said is, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it has been spoken in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it has been predetermined in heaven. That is, when you hear the word of God concerning what God determined that your life should be, it becomes a matter of prayer. When I preach that message, when I talk about poor Jonah, activating prophecy by prayer, that was the thing I was trying to say. People like to moan and groan and complain and examine what the doctor said or what the doctor did not say. One thing they don't do is to sit down and say, listen, himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by his stripes I have been healed. That is what is recorded where? In heaven. Then you sit down on the earth and begin to declare, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Daily, you must prophesy again. Daily, you prophesy again. Daily, you prophesy again. You hear of Boko Haram bombings, don't ever get tired. There is a judgment written against the wicked. There is. Listen, what I'm going to emphasize is that don't sit there and think that one day somebody will get tired. Listen, I told you before, I work in a part of the hospital where I have to open my mouth and wonder how many armed robbers we have in town. Because the way the police dispenses of them, they should have finished. Until I understood, it's a spirit. You shoot one guy, his flesh dies. The spirit goes and looks for another hungry boy. He's recruiting. You know, I used to say it. I thought about it today. I laughed at myself. That Nigerians don't have time to blow themselves up for anybody. You see how... That, you know, it's not true. Listen. These things are spirits. Listen. They are spirits. And as a matter of fact, I'm not speaking against anybody. As a matter of fact, they do... Look, listen. Jesus said that if you cast out a spirit from one guy, it goes around, moves around. Then when it comes back, finds that there's space. Nice space. He goes and takes seven spirits more wicked than himself. There's usually a spirit that allows some more wicked spirits to come in. Islam is a spirit that allows the spirit of suicide bombing. You see it. It's not revelation. You can see it. You can see it. Have you ever seen Christians doing suicide bombing? Hindus don't even have time for it. Hindus tend to burn themselves. If a Hindu is tired of life, he will cross his leg, pour fuel on himself, and set himself on fire. Each guy gets his own wahala. One man, they say, you know, I used to think, you know, unconsciously, that one day they go blow, they go tire. And I said, you don't know what you're talking about. His spirits. As if you don't cast the spirit out by words of prophecy and words of judgment, you'll be amazed at how much they can recruit suicide bombers. You'll be amazed. Because some people think it's poverty. It's not poverty. It has not. Abdulmutallab was not poor. Farouk Abdulmutallab was not poor. His father was former chairman of First Bank of Nigeria. He went to school in the best schools in the world. He was not poor. It's not poverty. It's a spirit. It's a religion that allows it in. You practice that religion, your children are open. It's not poverty. It's a spirit. What am I saying? It will not just stop by itself. Men have to pray. And I don't mean prayer of, oh God, look, now we're in bondage, take us out of Egypt. Oh boy, you're out of Egypt. So let's settle that one. You're a prophet. Are you getting my point? You're a prophet. Your own is, let my people go. That's your job. That's your job. Let my people go. It's forceful. It has a commanding tone. It's not begging. It's saying the will of God must be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We are what? Builders. Jonah spoke. It did not come to pass. Not because the word was a lie, but because certain circumstances around did not allow that word to reach ground, like we say. What am I saying? God may have prophesied abundance upon you. Like I say all the time, you are free. In whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, you are free. There's a prophetic word. Many people are bound, even though they are free. And they think that, after all, I'm supposed to be free. I don't understand this kind of bondage. Then be talk, say, I'm free. Say, you're bound anyhow. Now, wow. So next time somebody is preaching, you are free. He said, oh boy, I've heard that message 50 times. Nobody has seen this. See the chains. He doesn't understand that anytime they say you are free, they've given you a weapon. Take the chains and start hammering on it. Knock and the door will be open. They've given you the hammer with you to break that door down forcefully. Begin to knock that door. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instead of sitting there moaning, say, why am I still bound? He said, now I have discovered the will recorded in heaven. Now we must execute it on the earth. Listen, one of the mistakes we make again as Christians, let's talk about the word of prosperity, because Africa came out of a background of poverty. You know what's called poverty? Yes, Africa is very, very poor. I watch them on TV. Sometimes it's very annoying. So the word of prosperity has been spoken. You've heard it again and again. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You've heard it again and again. You heard it 3 years ago. How about you are still broke? Man, that quotation is not correct. That word prosperity actually means peace. It means peace of mind. At least I sleep well. You know, you start mellowing down the prophecy. That's not your job. The prophecy does not come to explain your current situation. It's a tool to create the necessary one. Are you getting my point? That is, you want, come on, how come I'm still broke? It's not, let me not go and look for work. Let me not go and look for work. No. Hey, you wake up in the morning. Remember, by a prophet, Israel was delivered. By a prophet, he was sustained. Are you getting my point? That is, what will deliver you from poverty is what? Prophecy. So you wake up in the morning, and instead of wondering why, you begin to talk to yourself, to your environment, to your pocket, to everything you have put your hands on to do. Say, listen, behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Somebody say, that was about Jerusalem. Say, hey, Pastor Banky said he went unto his own. His own did not receive him. I have received him. That word is my own. I have received him. That word is my own. Listen. Everybody said the word is living. It's the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. You know what the word is living means? It means the word. We create a job for you if that's what it needs to fulfill itself. The word is living means the word will give you a business idea if that is what is needed. The word will pull contacts for that business. It will do everything that word must be fulfilled. You know, a story just came to my mind again. Demon Shakarian story. When he was struggling and struggling and struggling. Listen, even though a direct word was given to his grandfather that he should move to the United States from Armenia and move to that particular coast where they were. They arrived at one coast, crossed the whole land and go to the other coast. They had done that. Years had passed. They were in poverty. His father, who came as a boy, was dead, having been injured while trying to walk. Then he went to church one day and said, guys, I can't continue like this. And men began to pray. That's why I preached that message, poor Jonah, activating prophecy by prayer. After they prayed, in the way by which they understood it, they opened the Bible. And the scriptures opened to a particular page. Just like in the times of Jesus, he fell to a particular place. This one fell to a particular place that said, blessed will you be in the fruit of the field. I'm talking about the word becoming flesh. So the man heard it. And they said, the Lord said, go out and go and deal in the fruit of the field. That was how he heard it. He began to sell vegetables. Suddenly his eyes opened. And he noticed that all the vegetables in town were shriveled. They were not fresh. So he would go out into the villages. I'm putting Nigerian words to it now. Buy fresh vegetables and bring them to town every morning. And began to deliver vegetables from house to house. In a short while, he bought land. In a short while, he bought dairy farms and dairy cattle. In a short while, he had tens of thousands of dairy cattle as his own. At the time, his family was the largest dairy single dairy farm owner in the world. Once I was watching on CNN. Sorry, not CNN. Once I was watching, I think NTA Nigeria. And they're talking about the number of heads of cattle on the Mambila Plateau. The whole Mambila, I think they said it was about 1 million or so. And it struck me that that was about the amount that only Demo Shakarian owned. That one scripture connected the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's what we're celebrating, national treasure. One man owned that much. Why? Because a word arose and said, blessed shall you be in the fruit of the field. That's how the word works. Listen, if you want to talk about curse and poverty, those men, when they arrived in America, they had to remove the gates of the house where they were staying to use to build fire to keep warm. They were that poor. Well, these are my people. So who said your family will not prosper? The people that, listen, their mouths have been shut by the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? You are not in bondage. Are you getting my point? Listen, you are sleeping. You are sleeping. The people after you, they are not sleeping. And you've heard me say it before. Why should they sleep? They are sinners. There's no rest for the wicked. Why are you competing with sinners for their own duty? They said, those who are against you, they are not sleeping. I said, yes, because they are sinners. Why should a sinner sleep? The Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. Let him stay awake. I am going to sleep. Why? In peace will I lay me down and sleep. The Bible says, for the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. I'm not getting up at night because of any nonsense enemy. I will sleep at night. I can handle it during the day. I must walk the walk of him that sent while it is day. The night commence. What is your nonsense all night prayer because of enemies? That's because you think you are still in bondage. You think you are not free yet. If you understand that you are free, you will stop that. You want to stay all night, stay up all night giving God praise. You want to stay up all night studying the word of God. You want to stay up all night prophesying. So that you won't disturb your family, your neighbor, your friends. Stay up all night. When they've all gone to sleep, say yes. Take out the scriptures. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am the head, I'm not the tail. I don't care what they said about me. As a child, I didn't used to remember things. I was very dull. That's their problem. Listen, that's why you should hear stories and testimonies. Peter Daniels was a very dull child. They said he had dyslexia. He couldn't differentiate between L and I. That's what it means to have dyslexia. They write E, they write C. He can't see the difference. They say it's genetic, whatever it is. It's a structural problem in the brain. He grew up total illiterate. An Australian white man. Total illiterate. Until he heard the word of God. And the climax of it was that a company asked him to consult for them. They had problems. He charged them $1 million. He spoke for 10 minutes. And they paid him $1 million. And when they were going to use what he said in 10 minutes, they made $100 million. That's the man who they said was brain stupid and brain damaged. Do you get my point? Listen, prophecies are tools. What did I call them? Tools. When you find the thing is broken, you fix it. That's what prophecies are for. It's not as if God has said it to, let's wait and watch it come to pass. No. We will make it come to pass by prophesying again. We will restructure Nigeria by prophesying again. There's something Nigerians do a lot, and Christians, you must stop it. They will get up and say, this probe, nothing will come out of it. You're a prophet. If you say nothing will come out, nothing will come out. If you want something to come out, say this probe, something will come out. They will not know when something will begin to come out, even though they did not plan it. Things will begin to come out. They say, that man, that's what they always do. They go talk, nothing will happen. I say, why do you talk like that? The present is that by this time, there will be uninterrupted power supply. Don't worry about whether he can do it or he can't. He has said it. Thou art ensnared by the words of your mouth. Say he has said it. Take those words, add it to the word of God and say, oh boy, you will do it too. Listen, We must understand. We'll continue next time, right? I've really spoken at length, and my time has gone. The point I'm trying to make here is this. Prophecies are what? They are tools. We don't wait and say, let's see whether it will come to pass. No. It's been given to us. It's been given to us. Many prophecies that God spoke will not come to pass because the men he spoke them to did not do anything with them. The words preached, those were prophetic words. The word preached did not profit them. It is possible to hear a word and it doesn't profit you. Not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. That is, if you want the word to profit you, there are things to do. Number one thing is you prophesy what? Again. Let the word unsettle you. I like that thing we read from Revelation just now. You eat it, it is sweet. They tell you that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It's very sweet, all right? Then when you go out, you see poverty crushing you like a wheat. You understand? And the lack of the nations like an angry lion. You understand what I'm saying? So it's annoying. Are you getting my point? Now your stomach is angry. That's what I'm trying to explain. Your stomach is disturbed. You heard the word sweet, all right? By the time it hits your situation, there's calamity. There's disturbance. So what do? Regurgitate the word and speak to your lack. Are you getting my point? Yes. You regurgitate the word and speak to your environment. That's the first thing we do. We'll talk about the rest later. That's the first thing we do. That is the first thing we do. We take the word of God as a tool and we begin to do some engineering. How have you gotten my point?